We are talking to you in these services, the next several weeks, about the factors that affect our faith, or that should work together with our faith. And what I've done is, for your benefit, I've kind of given you a visual, a mental picture of a three-legged stool. Look at somebody and tell them, three-legged stool. And the seat portion of that stool is actually our faith. And a lot of believers out there that think that, well, if we just had enough faith and everything would be perfect with our lives, everything would go well. And it is critical that you walk by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're not going to receive by faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, what? Be it unto you. So there's no way to minimize the role of faith in your walk as a child of God. Four times the Bible tells us the just shall what? Live by faith. That's the prescribed way to live. But if you're not careful, you think that somehow faith operates in isolation from other spiritual principles and forces. And that's just not the case. In fact, your faith is upheld and supported by three other spiritual forces. And we dealt with the first one last week when we talked about hope. Everybody say Bible hope. Bible hope is an inner image of an eager expectation based on the Word of God. You're programming your spirit with what did God say? And how this works is the Word of God is the paint, the Holy Spirit is the artist, and your heart is the canvas. What's critical to work in your life is that that image always be vibrant, always be saturated with color and vibrancy from the Word of God by the Spirit of God. So you have something in your heart, something of a hope for your faith to actually work on. Amen? Faith is being sure of what we hope for. No hope, you have nothing for your faith to work on. So hope is critical. And how many know a lot of hopeless people out there? Why? Because they're trying to get hope from the world and hope from their behavior and hope from their performance. That's not going to work. You get hope from the Word of God. Can I have an amen? But hope is not the only factor. That's just one leg on that stool. And how many know if you take one or more of those legs out, your faith is going to fall. So you need to focus not just on cultivating faith, but also making sure that these forces that work with faith are intact in your life. Now, that second force we're going to deal with, or that second leg today, is the leg of love. Say love. Love. You've heard of leg of lamb? This is leg of love. Amen. And really, two sides of this coin, I want to make sure you understand. The first side is where you understand how much and how deeply God loves you. And you can read it, you can have people tell you that, God loves you at the supermarket, but until you get a revelation of this, it's going to be hard for you to let your faith operate the way it's supposed to. In other words, I believe God's word is going to come true. I believe that faith is going to work because God loves me. Come on, shout it out, God loves me. It's foundational to your life. And yet a lot of people deep in their heart, they don't believe that. For God so loved the world. Not what the reformist says, well, he just loved people generically. There's some people he hates. No, he loves the people. So much so that he went to the cross to die for us. God demonstrated his love in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then 1 John 4:6 tells us a bold statement that we're to believe the love that God has for us. Say it, I believe the love. So I could talk to you all day long about the other side of this coin, but if you don't have the first side of the coin deep in your heart and resolve that the reason God's going to come through, the reason his word works, the reason you could take his word and trust him, the reason he's going to come through for you is because he loves you. Yes. Yes. I love the story that Creflo talks about. He and Taffy going on a cruise liner and got a beautiful stateroom, you know, with a balcony. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, he started hearing waves crashing against the windows of that stateroom. And he sat straight up. And he began to declare, God loves Creflo. God loves me. I know God loves me. And Taffy's like, what in the world are you doing? He goes, the waves are crashing in. I'm trying to remind myself that God loves me, and we're not going down like the Titanic. Amen. And she said, go back to sleep. They're just washing the windows. But what he drew from that is, well, in case it had been, I was ready, confessing that God loves me. Come on, shout out, God loves me. So you have to foundationally understand. They say, well, every Christian believes that. No, some people have been raised in such an environment. that they still doubt that God loves them because they project onto God the image of some father, some parent, some grandparent, some boss, some sibling, and how they were treated. They project it onto God. Let me tell you something. Your God is not like your mama, not like your daddy, not like your green-eyed granny, not like your purple-eyed pappy. Can I have an amen? God is love. And don't try to put on him some relationship you had on this earth because that's not the way it works. Somehow, some way, God's going to come through. Your faith's going to work because you have it supported by a deep revelation that God loves you. Turn to somebody and smile and say, God loves you. He really loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Does that make sense today? Say it, I believe it.
I believe the love.
Why is this so important for us to understand? The side of the coin where we find out that God loves us, and then the other side of the coin where we find out what we're supposed to do in terms of our own love walk. It's critical because Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love. And when we're talking about love, we're not talking about the tit for tat love. We're not talking about eros. We're not talking about the love of a friend or family. We're talking about agape love. The no strings love of the Father, receiving from him that love, that covenant relationship based on his example and not on performance. It's a reflection of his grace. That's how he loves us, and that's how he expects us to love other people. Yes. Having received that love, that's the expectation for you, that you would in turn love other people that way. And a lot of people see a breakdown when it comes to love. Without love, our faith has no power. And the King James says, faith worketh by love. But faith will not work without love. The assumption that, well, my faith just failed. And tell me what happened while you were believing for that breakthrough, that healing, that overcoming situation, that addiction, that financial need that you had. Tell me what was going on in your relationships. Were you trusting that God loves you? And how were you acting during that particular phase of your life? Were you staying in love? If you weren't staying in love, you didn't have a faith failure. You had a love failure. And if you keep believing it's just a faith failure, eventually you'll just get put out. You know, this faith stuff doesn't work. No, your faith works just fine. The Word of God is incorruptible. But what's going on in your life between the amen and the there it is has everything to do with whether it comes to pass or not. And it's not necessarily a faith failure. It could very well be your love did not hold out during that point in time. Some of you are having a revelation right now. That's why the devil works so hard to get you and me out of love. You, many of you today are no longer going to be facing the temptations you did as a young person or before you got saved. You've got victory over drugs and alcohol, over promiscuity. It's not a temptation anymore for you to smoke a cigarette. But I'm telling you, every single day of your life, you're going to be tempted to come out of love. Because the enemy knows if you come out of love, it's going to compromise your faith. Look at somebody and say, that's not going to work on me anymore. The Amplified Classic says, faith activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. Say that with me. Faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. To energize means to give energy, to rouse into activity, to put in operation, to power up your faith. The opposite of energizing is to deactivate, to sap, to tire, to weaken, to debilitate. In other words, to power down our faith. The bottom line is that when we love, it energizes our faith and it puts into operation that power. But when you walk out of love, you deactivate and you drain your faith of power. We've gotten so used to having things happen in our lives that we don't even pay attention to this much anymore. But I'm telling you, it's a much bigger deal for you and for me to come out of love than we realize. I can tell you singularly as a pastor, the biggest temptation I've had over these decades of service is coming out of love in response to some circumstance. And you have to police that and realize what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get you out of love because he's after your faith. He's after your amen. He's after what you're going to do for God. He's after what could be if you stayed in love. Amen. Well, Pastor, at what point is it no longer a temptation? Probably when you're raptured or dead. Amen. You see why? Because you live in a fallen world. You live among fallen people. Is anybody here perfect? No. We see this play out in real time in the ministry of Jesus in Mark 6. We see that a lack of love completely neutralized the faith on the ground in the story in Mark 6. Verse 1, it says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Shout that out. They took offense at him. They already testified about his great teaching. They already testified about the power of God. And yet, look at this. They took offense at him. Notice this. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his own relatives, and in his own home. He could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And you'll see in this story that love and faith travel together. When they got into offense, it neutralized their ability to receive from God. Faith does not work in the absence of love. That's reason enough for you as a married couple to get the strife out of your marriage. Anybody here believe in the power of the prayer of agreement?
Yes.
You address something as a spouse and a husband, and you absolutely believe God for that thing. There is great power in a covenant marriage prayer of agreement. You're not going to receive a doggone thing if you're in strife with her or him at the time you're trying to receive from God. So you mean faith won't work without love. It is drained of its power without love. What a sad day that was in that particular town. But it could be just like that in this town, in your city, in your group, among your family, in your marriage. If you walk out of love, you leave the power behind. Faith works when we maintain a life of love for God and others. When the love fades, the faith fizzles. Nothing is impossible to him who believes, but nothing will be possible if it's lacking love. Come on, say that. When the love leaves, my faith fizzles. I don't know about you, but is there anybody here that can really afford to have their faith fizzle? With an uplifted hand, can you say, I'm believing God for something, Pastor? I'm believing God for something in my life? Then you've got to make sure you're diligent and guarding and protecting your love walk at all costs. Amen. Over Matthew 22, we're given the command of God. Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? He certainly consented and replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We understand from other translations, with all of your strength, your physicality, your materiality. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The greatest commandment, and there is no reprieve or backing away from this. Say it with me, the greatest commandment. Love God, love people. Some of you would say, well, I love God, but people not so much. Then you're violating that command. And the problem is, and Brother Copeland used to talk about this all the time, this love commandment's like a golden curtain rod. And every promise of God, every prophetic word hangs on that curtain rod. And when you come out of love, you knock that rod down. It is impossible for you to enjoy God's best unless you're paying attention to your love walk. And listen, it's not necessarily what the devil's doing. You and I are the ones that knock it down. But how we respond in life, but how we deal with things in life. Everybody say, thank God. I can choose to walk in love. So this is it. All the prophets, all the promises, all the teachings, everything from cover to cover hangs or depends on love. The Bible doesn't say everything hangs on faith. So you understand that there is an importance given to the way or the manner we're supposed to live by faith, but it's supported by this greatest commandment called love. When you fulfill this law, when you're loving God and you're loving people, you are fulfilling the word of God. He has reduced the Ten Commandments, which exploded to hundreds of commands and ancillary things that were added to by the scribes and the leaders, down to what? Down to a simple understanding that if you keep loving God and you are loving people, you are fulfilling what God expects you to do. Well, that's easy enough. Or maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, loving God is the easy part. Loving people, not so much. Before you say that, make sure you understand what it means to actually love God according to Scripture. And you might leave her thinking there's a little bit more to loving God than just, oh, I love you, Jesus. Singing a praise and worship song. Oh, praise you, Lord, I love you, God. You're so good to me. Oh, that's wonderful. But the Bible actually defines very clearly what it means to love God. Let's talk about loving God for a minute. Because all the prophets hang on the command of love. Love God and love people. Shout that out. Love God and love people. The supreme mark of love for God is obedience. We won't be in active disobedience to His will or word. Amen. Unless we come out of that place of love. You cannot be in disobedience to His word and expect that your faith is going to work. Well, I'm believing God for this over here, but I've come out of love over here with God because I'm not doing what He said, but my faith on this thing is going to work. Understand this. If you come out of love in one area of God's word, your faith won't work in another area because you have come out of what it means to actually love God. John 14, 15 says, if we love Him, y'all are getting really quiet on me right now. If we love Him, we will keep His commands. Love for God is demonstrated daily in obedience. Every act of disobedience indicates we love something more than God. And that's the very definition of idolatry. Every act of disobedience indicates we love something more than God. You see it all the time as people of God. Leaders see it all the time, especially the American church right now. We come in here and we worship and raise our hands and clap and, oh, praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Where you going to come back and be faithful to church? Well, I don't know. Even though the Bible commands you to what? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as, well, I'm an American Christian. You know, it doesn't take all that. When you sit there, instead of going faithfully to the house of God, you're out there boating on the lake or you're taking extra jobs just to avoid the house of God, you don't love God, and somebody needs to have the guts to tell you that. And the plain teaching of Scripture is to serve and not just sit, but you won't do it because in an American gospel fashion, all I got to do is just show up, let them count my rear end, throw 2 cents in the offering, and praise the Lord. I love God. If you're not serving, you don't love God. He did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus. You should see all the Jesus plaques I have and all the Jesus shirts I've got. You should see my Jesus bumper sticker collection. Honky if you love Jesus. You don't love Jesus if you don't obey Him. You don't love God if you don't obey Him. It could be the simple prescribed things of the Word of God or the directives of the Holy Spirit on your life. If He calls somebody to preach, calls them into the ministry, and they won't do it, they can talk all day long about how they love God. But they don't love God because they're not doing what God told them to do. Some of you have commands that are dated in your life. Days or weeks, months, even years have gone by. And one day I'll get around to it. But I love God. Oh, praise the Lord. I love God. What you got in the house of God these days is a lot of false love for God. And where the love is absent, the power won't be there. When you really think about this, if you really want to find out if you love God, ask yourself if you're doing what he told you to do from his word, but in your daily life. Told you to go talk to that person at work, but you won't do it. You don't love God. He tells you to be a sower and a tither and a giver, but you won't do it because somehow you think it doesn't apply to you. You don't love God. Everybody else can be involved in ministry. They praise the Lord for them. I'm so glad that they're there. How do you know when you're involved in church, you're glad that people are doing something? But you should love God enough to what? Be engaged in that situation. Say, I love God if I obey Him. Day by day, moment by moment. Have you found out that some of the commands of God to your life are not at all convenient? Well, Lord, that's not convenient for me to do. That's not the issue. All the worship and all the praise and all the prayer and all the externals and all the, you know, the positive things you say mean nothing if we don't obey Him. Say that with me. Loving God means obeying Him. And everybody has something, you know, that God's dealing with them about, and that's okay, but you need to yield to Him. Why? Because you love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Love Him enough to do what He told you to do because He ultimately knows that's what's best. If only Joshua and Joshua 9 had listened to the command of God, make no treaty with these nations in the land you're going to possess. That word obey would have kept them out of so much trouble. But here come the Gibeonites about 10 miles away after they found out what happened to Ai. And they come and they put on old shoes and they put moldy bread in their sacks and they showed them, look, we've come from a far distance to beg you for peace. We're no threat to you. And here's what the Bible says. They sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. If they had inquired of the Lord, what would He have said? I already told you. Do not forge a treaty with a nation in the land you're going to possess. But they made a covenant with them. And once you do that, God expects you to keep it. Just one page later in the Bible, and the kings of the land gathered together to fight against Israel because of Gibeah's, you know, treaty with them, and they attack. And you know, the most miraculous thing that happened in that particular story was they needed extra time to defeat those enemies. So God caused the sun to stand still in the sky so that Israel would keep a covenant God never told them to get into. All because we love God. You only love God to the degree that you do what He tells you to do. And there's so much carnality in the American church. They have every kind of definition for loving God, except for what it really means. You demonstrate your love just like He did. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. You demonstrate your love by doing what He says in the Word of God and what He speaks to your spirit. And I may have never felt so alone in my entire life up here. Look at somebody and smile and say, it's the truth. If you love God, what are you going to do? You're going to obey Him. And aren't you glad that He is merciful and gracious? Aren't you glad that He's working with us? He doesn't throw us out like trash. At the same time, to go around saying, I love you, God, without the attending obedience in our lives, it's an ongoing lie that most of us need to repent of. Amen. Remember that chorus that came out in the 80s? I love you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. How many times did we lie as we sang that? Walked out the door and did anything but what He told us to do. Smile at your neighbor and say He's preaching a whole lot better than you're shouting right now. How do we know we love God? The standard is completely objective and measurable. It's not a feeling. It's not something that's ooey and gooey and a goosebump. It's objective. It is simple, clear, and objective. If you do what He tells you to do, you love Him. If you don't do what He tells you to do, you don't. Amen. That's the one dimension. The other one's just as easy. loving people. Come on, say it boldly. I am so glad I came to church today. Why couldn't I be on vacation today? Why? Oh, we're only accountable to what we actually have heard and know. So, everybody say, love God.
Love God.
Number two, love people. What an amazing challenge that Paul gave us in Ephesians chapter 3. This is from verse 17 and 18 from the NLT. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 tells us, basically, there's no power without love. Everything you're doing spiritually without love attached to it has no consequence eternally, has no force about that, because faith works by love. You may have the shell of spiritual activity, but if there's no supernatural force released, it's because the love of God is not there. So in our dealing with one another, the love of God has to be there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, and the servant of the Lord must not strive or be in strife, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Literally, what happens is when you count them out of love and you get into strife, you become the devil's plaything. You've been taken captive not to do God's will, being taken captive to do man's will, the devil's will, somebody else's will other than God. Are you here today? Strife is the devil's playground. The servant of the Lord must not be in strife. It is a manifestation of fear, and it disconnects us from faith and connects us to the enemy. It opens the door to the enemy to snare us, and we end up doing not God's will, but Satan's will. What? It's the result of no love. So say it with me. I need to believe God loves me. I need to love God by obeying Him, and I need to stay in love with people by staying out of strife. And the opportunities are everywhere. They're with the people that you work with. They're with people, you know, that you hang around, the people in the church, the people in your ministry, the people in the car in front of you. I mean, there's some nuts out there. Hallelujah. And not all the nutty drivers are in Tennessee. Can I have an amen? Some of them are in Kentucky. I mean, if you can't even handle driving around town and you come out of love just because you're driving, you got some work to do. What are you doing? You're practicing strife. What you practice, you become very good at. Amen. But say it with me. No love. No power. Faith works by what? By love. It won't work in the absence of love. My sister said this the other day when she was ministering. I thought it was so powerful. She said, strife is the anointing of the enemy to bring destruction. And it will. Every single time. So you have to make up your mind that, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and live without strife. I'm going to live without coming out of love, because I see the consequences, you know, of doing so. I want my faith to work. Raise your hand if you want your faith to work. Amen. Go to Mark 11 for a moment. Oftentimes when Mark 11 is broached, it's broached because of the faith message. And surely it's foundational. In Mark 11, 22, have faith or have the God kind of faith. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw itself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Say it. They have to believe and have to say. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And watch this. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Anybody here like to see some mountains removed from your life? Before you're ever going to be able to remove a mountain from your life, you're going to have to remove the molehill of unforgiveness. If you really want to see the mountain go. Amen. Directly connected in this scripture are the concepts of believing by faith and walking in love and forgiveness. And if you're in full-time ministry, you know, I've had many, many opportunities through the years. I've seen some crazy stuff. Amen. I've pastored some crazy people. Some of y'all are still here.
Yes.
and mentally, I'm processing, filling out a book just called Resilient. Because that's what we're called to be. When we get slammed, be resilient and walk on with God. When something doesn't go the way it should, be resilient with God. When you get let down, betrayed, be resilient with God. When you count on somebody, they're not there, be resilient with God. Stay in love. I know no other way to do that than to maintain your love walk. You think it may be a minor deal or a side issue. I'm telling you, it is target number one in your life. He wants your faith, but target number one is your love. Say it, I refuse to be anything but resilient. For you old timers in here, you can take a licking and keep on ticking. If you're a little younger than that, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Shout it out one more time. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Y'all remember the little Bozo the Clown slings? You blow them up and you hit them and they come back at you. Did you hear what I said? They come back at you. A stupid air-filled plastic Bozo keeps coming at you. Please don't let some plastic air-filled Bozo take you down. He just keeps coming. What if you were the one that just kept coming and refused to bow? Amen? That's right. Everything in life the devil tries to use to get you out of love is nothing but a bozo. Just, amen, pop that thing and move on with your life. Look at somebody and say, if you want to move a mountain, you got to move the molehill first. Doesn't make any sense to the natural mind. But that's the relationship between faith and love. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, Kelly and I started our ministry, left Springfield, Missouri, and went down to, and there were some lessons there as well. I mean, I could just tell you a few of these, and I don't mind doing that, because I don't live in a bubble, and I haven't become perfect in this. Perfect love casts out all fear, but mostly perfecting your love in terms of how God loves you, believe in that love. But as far as our love walk, we're practicing. Mm-hmm. How many know that people practice law, and they practice medicine? Faith people practice love. Yep. Smile at somebody and say, I know you're working on it. You haven't arrived yet. But how are you moving forward on it? Yes. I mean, I was still in school, and I was a part-time youth pastor in Sparta, Missouri with Kelly. And, we did services for him on Sunday morning during Sunday school and Wednesday night. And pastor decided he wanted to go on a river trip. And he told all of his board members, now, no horseplay when you're down there. Blah, blah, blah. And so we got in there, and I watched as several deacons began to try to rock his canoe. Look at somebody say, don't rock somebody's canoe. And I watched how somebody got so furious, he literally took his forearm and slammed it against the canoe and broke his arm on a church outing. And that wasn't the worst part. I had nothing to do with it. But I was the one that was supposedly the one that broke his arm. After he did that, I wanted to break the other arm. I mean, glory to God. Started, I worked in the Assemblies of God National Headquarters building. So did his wife. Everybody that could tell. They told. I thought, oh, great. You know, I'm still in seminary. And I mean, I'm going to be, shot down before I ever even leave the doors. Or something really I had nothing to do with. right here today. What do you do? Kelly can tell you, and I can too. Students went to Central Bible College, Evangel, our seminary, got into debt doing so, walked out, had an experience where they were either mistreated by a board or a senior pastor if they were a staff member or something like that, and they never went back into ministry. That's how bad it was. You say, how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Because they did not cultivate resilience through their love walk when they went through it. You're going to walk with God the day we're living in. You're going to go through it. Yeah. I said, you're going to go through it. And you might as well just get ready for it. So I'm like, Lord, what do I do with that? You know, I'm not like, you know, 60 years old, been in this forever. I mean, I was like, I don't know, 22 years, 21 years old when this happened. What do? You learn to trust God with it. I learned this lesson when a few months later, after all this played out, that one of his best friends called me from another town asking me to serve on his staff. I want to say, you still want me to serve on your staff after what you heard about me? And it dawned on me that just because somebody's running their mouth doesn't mean that everybody believes it. In fact, some people have discernment. And this man saw right through the entire thing. You need to trust God and stay in love. Look at somebody and tell them, stay in love. Come on, say it again. Say, stay in love. Amen. We took a ministry call down in Savannah, Georgia. And we went down there on the pretext that the pastor was going to retire and that we were going to take over that ministry. We get down there and, like, I don't know, 2 weeks later, the pastor starts saying, if y'all don't start giving, we're going to have to let Art and Kelly go. We moved from Springfield to Savannah, Georgia, and then we're going to be let go. Look at somebody and say, good news.
Good news.
See, when I say you get lots of chances to practice your love walk, I know what I'm talking about. I'm like, Lord, what do I do about that? And then, right on the heels of that, he began to say, well, I could not imagine anyone ever pastoring this church but my son who lived in Virginia somewhere pastor. That's perfectly fine. I just want to be where God wants me to be. But you don't always have all the details. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You're going to have to accept the fact that people are fallen in general. They're not perfect. Your love response has nothing to do with their lack of perfection or how good they are. It's your choice, your decision. I chose just to go ahead and serve in honor, do whatever God wanted me to do. One of the wives of a board member came up to me just a couple months later. She got right in my face and said, you know, so-and-so, the pastor, he just doesn't have a vision anymore, you know what? And he's just hanging on for a paycheck. And bless God, you know, he ought to just go on down the road. And I looked at her and I stepped towards her and I said this. I said, you're going to get to him, but only by going through me. You need to support him. He built this work. He built this building. He established this work. You need to support him, not throw him out like the trash because he's 78 years old. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Yeah, but what about the thing he did with you? Irrelevant. My response can't be based on what somebody else did. We sow love because we understand the dimension of love. And lived there. Invited the governor of Missouri down to do a speed of light missions rally, and he accepted. And to the day he died, he talked about John Ashcroft coming down to do that meeting for him and speaking in his church. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It's a matter of choosing to walk in love. Hallelujah. Some of you heard my story when I first came here. From Savannah, we went to Hopkinsville, but first we submitted an application to come back here to Murray where I was in college at. In this particular church, there are actually people campaigning at the door to stop me from being elected to this church. In the process of selecting somebody, they actually put our names in a hat, pulled my name out of the hat, then put my name back in the hat. We're talking about born-again, spirit-filled people. And I'm telling you, if I came out of love, I would have been doomed a long time ago.
Yeah.
Amen. People who hadn't been in this church 5, 6, 7 years showed up on election day. Just like those dead people in Chicago that vote every election. You heard about the two farmers in Southern Illinois? They're sitting on a fence post like this. And the guy says, I ain't afraid of dying. He goes, well, I'm not afraid of dying either. I'm afraid of dying and voting Democrat. Settle down. Settle down. I'm like, what in the world? And of course, the result was that we were not selected. But I am telling you that you're always going to have opportunities either to choose to walk in love. And we did. We bless them, say, God will lead you, guide you to what you need to pull this church together, bring it in unity. But I'm telling you, you come out of love, you can sabotage the whole thing. And I remember, and I said this before, that Kelly and I were over in where the kids' main dome is. We used to meet in the other dome for church. And we're about to walk back into the auditorium. And I get to greet these folks and say something to them. And you say, Pastor, what did you want to say? Well, it wasn't, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. I can tell you that right now. And we're just walking just like this. Kelly's behind me. There's two board members in front of me and a couple behind her. And I just stopped because I heard the Holy Ghost. And I stopped so abruptly. She ran into my back and then they ran into her. And the Holy Ghost said, when you go out there, be very careful what you say. For the next words out of your mouth will affect your destiny and theirs. Now, we want to know how that plays out before we choose to love. You have to choose to love on the basis of nothing else but the command of God. So I walked out there. And you know what I did? I didn't say what I wanted to say. I said, parent, you're not in unity over your leadership. We'll pray that God will send you the right person. We'll be praying for you. That was it. I mean, you know, there's wisdom in a multitude of what counselors, and there's wisdom in a what? A smallness of the words that you actually speak. Where words are many, sin is not absent. Amen. And when 95 came around and they invited us to come over here unanimously, right? If I had gone out there with my mouth and come out of love, that never would have happened. We wouldn't be here today. And some of you wouldn't be here today.
That's true.
You see, you coming out of love just doesn't affect your destiny. How many times I've seen kids destroyed spiritually because parents live by their emotions instead of by the prompting of the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
They were taught, well, this church isn't good enough, so we'll go over here. Then we'll go over here. Then we'll go over here. By the time they're 20 years old, they've been to 6, 7, 8 churches, and their conclusion is, church stinks. Why should I go? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Rather than walking in love. Amen? You know, Nancy Dufresne said it best. Where you go to church has nothing to do with where you want to go to church. It's where do you need to go to become what you're supposed to become. Your flesh may hate it. A couple of you decided that a minute ago when I told you that if you're not obeying God, you don't love Him. But you need to hear the truth in love. Amen. Loving people is not, you know, being absent of the truth. It's speaking the truth in love. And I can't tell you how many battles, how many wars, how many things have happened from the time I was still in school to the present day, opportunities to come out of love. And God wants us to master that because if we do, the power is intact in that love walk in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Say it with me. I need to believe God loves me. I need to believe God loves me. I also need to love God. How do I say I love God? I love God by obeying Him, doing what He told me to do. And also, I love people because that's the greatest commandment of God as well. Amen. And Pastor, why don't you tell us some more stories? You don't have the time. John 15:12, this is my commandment that I have given you. Love one another as what? As I have loved you. How many here have been loved by the grace of God and the mercy of God? Raise your hand if you understand He has loved you with great patience and mercy.
Yes.
Amen. So what's he saying to us? Love others as he did it. It's a choice. Amen. Now, I'd like to tell you that I navigated everything quickly. I mean, just as soon as it happened, bless God, I was like, praise the Lord, I love them. It's more like, bless God, praise the Lord, I love them in hell. You know, I've dealt with some strange things, you know. Even a situation recently where somebody decided to blast me on social media. I said, that's okay. That's all right. And I began to meditate on that a little bit too much. So I've told this story a couple times, and apparently somebody still needs to hear it. I'm driving to Paducah a couple weeks ago, going to see one of our members who's having surgery. And I get almost, you know, to the exit there where Lord's Mercy Hospital is, and I hear the Holy Ghost say, what do you want me to do with so-and-so? It's not every day God gets you a chance to determine what happens with so-and-so. And I was just about to say, wipe him off the face of the earth. But before I could say anything, he followed up and he said, oh, and how you recommend I deal with him is how I'm going to deal with you. And then he said, so what do you want me to do with so-and-so? Lord, strong conviction. Stop doing what he's doing. And if he wants to contact me, that's fine, but I don't need it. What did I have? Another opportunity to cultivate and develop my love muscle or fail. Amen. I mean, some of you are looking at me like, is there a certain point where you don't have to do that anymore? If there is, I'm not aware of it. I was born again at 17 years old, and now I'm not 17 years old. It seems like I always have the opportunity to deal with that. And so do you. If you want your faith to work, you keep believing God loves you. And you stay in love with him. You obey him and love him. And you stay, what, in love with other people. Amen. Because the bottom line, child of God, the stories aren't ever going to stop. Never. You mean I won't arrive and be so perfect one day they'll leave me alone? Jesus was perfect and he didn't let him alone to Capernaum. Amen. A glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of sinners. The things they said about him. And it's just like water off the duck's back. Why? Because God is love. And he demonstrated for us what perfect love looks like. Turn to somebody and say, when they come at you, you come back at them. With what?
Love.
With love. Oh, that's so easy to do. No, it's not. Years ago, the Lord showed me that how many of y'all raised on Superman? How many of y'all put a stupid red cape on and jumped off the roof? Anybody here? Anybody put on a cape and put a big Superman on there? Nothing can touch this guy. I mean, we used to joke about this. You know, do you all remember Johnny Sokko's Rob-Up when you were a kid and all these different Japanese films where all these, you know, Godzilla and stuff would fight each other and wonder who would win, Superman or Godzilla? I mean, and now today with Marvel, you know, Superman or Spider-Man, that's easy. Superman would crush that guy like a bug. Yes, he would. Technically, they're not bugs. Who'd win? He seems to be completely undefeatable, except when he gets in the presence of what?
Kryptonite.
And all of a sudden, the power is gone. It's like Samson, when that anointing fell, nothing could stand in his way. But once his hair was cut through what? Disobedience and not listening, in this case, not just to the Lord, but to his own parents, the power was gone. You coming out of love is the kryptonite to your spiritual power to vitality.
Amen.
It's just not worth it. And it's not like this is just kryptonite in a little bitty hole in Murray somewhere. It's everywhere. I said it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and you've got to walk around and say, I'm not going to take the bait. Amen. Say it with me. The antidote for kryptonite is to stay in love. You come out, you're going to lose your force of power and your victory in your life. Amen. I would love to tell you that I have been perfect in every demonstration of this. I can tell you this. There's not as much distance between when something aggravates me and when I deal with it. Amen. And the goal is what? Where somebody can nail you to a cross and you can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what you do. You have to remember that ultimately there's an enemy behind all of this who's messing with you, coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? There's only one thing that can defeat the Christian, and that's walking out of love. Come on, say that. That is the kryptonite for the believer. If you can receive this today, give the Lord a hand clap, and let's thank Him for it.